It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 13th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Senator Rand Paul has filed a class action lawsuit against the National Security Agency. The Kentucky Republican senator has long been known for libertarian politics, but going up against the NSA is by some measurements a bold move. Is it a fool's errand as well? Here's Cyrus Farivar of the website Ars Technica.
Senator Rand Paul and FreedomWorks, the conservative activist group, has filed a class action lawsuit against the president and a few other officials alleging that the NSA's mass metadata collection program is illegal and unconstitutional and should be stopped.
I'm looking at a quote right now from Rand Paul, and it says, "I expect this case will go all the way to the Supreme Court." Do you think that's likely?
I think that, you know, since the Snowden leaks came out last summer, we've seen a number of lawsuits that have been filed challenging the legality of this program. So it seems only a matter of time before one of these suits makes its way to the Supreme Court and we get a final real answer as to whether or not these intelligence programs are, in fact, constitutional under the law.
Cyrus Farivar, senior business editor for the website Ars Technica. Cyrus, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Today, I want to check on a story we've covered on this show. It's about growing tensions in and around Silicon Valley, where ideas about class and even tradition are being disrupted, and where there are plenty of accusations that the tech industry in Northern California is way too insular. Marketplace Morning Report host David Brancaccio recently visited Silicon Valley. He brings this report.
7 o'clock on a gray morning in San Francisco's Mission District. In another city, waiting for the bus is the Great Leveler. You might be wearing a blue suit, you might be wearing blue coveralls, but if you're waiting for a bus, you are in this together. At this San Francisco bus stop, it's different. Some people are waiting for the regular city bus. Others wait with their messenger bags and earbuds for buses that are more imposing. Double-decker, tinted windows, even the tires shine with Armorall. Pure luxury transportation is decaled across the sides of two. The generic term is Google buses, but I'm seeing Yahoo, Cisco, Electronic Arts.
There's not a lot of interaction. That here's an eBay bus right here, by the way. That, you know, that's increased the tensions.
Sarah Short is executive director of the Housing Rights Committee of San Francisco. Tensions, no kidding. Protesters have blocked some of the tech buses and somebody slashed tires. The immediate issue is that private buses cause congestion and delays for city bus riders at the public stops. But what's also going on here is a clash of cultures and pay scales, with tech workers moving into what had been working-class neighborhoods. Rents are up, and tech workers get blamed.
That's a really different thing than just sort of envy. That's real meaningful frustration and anger. Will we be next? Will we be the next one to get an eviction notice? Will we be priced out? So it's really different than just sort of, they've got more money than I, and that makes me mad.
None of the people waiting for the private rides would comment, with some indicating their companies told them to stay mum. Tech companies argue the buses keep commuter cars off the road, which helps with traffic and pollution. But there's something larger going on here. It's about a perceived lack of involvement, Short says.
There's a whole range of things that tech could be doing much better to show us that they care about our city, to show us that this is more than just a crash pad for their employees.
Clearly, some people at the top of tech companies are engaged. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg just gave the Silicon Valley Community Foundation nearly $1 billion. Mark Benioff of Salesforce.com and his foundation gave $30 million to nonprofits, including $2.7 million to San Francisco middle schools. City Supervisor David Campos represents both the longtime residents and the tech workers who've moved into his district.
I think they live in these neighborhoods because they value diversity, they value rich culture.
Campos organized a public meeting in late January where people came to complain about or to support the role of tech in their neighborhoods. Among those who spoke out, Crystal Schultz, who described herself as a program manager and engineer at Google.
Not everyone at Google is a billionaire. Like many people, 10 years after the fact, I'm still paying off my student loans. I moved to the Mission because I am a pedestrian. I don't own a car. And I moved to the Mission because there are two BART stations. I walk everywhere on the weekend, and I have relied on the shuttle since I've moved to San Francisco.
Supervisor Campos says interactions like this are all too rare. Newcomers, he says, have a responsibility to make their impact positive.
And that they work with people who have been there long term to make sure that those individuals are not pushed out.
It can be easy for people who live in San Francisco to have this very warped sense of what the world outside of the technology community is.
Catherine Bracey is Director of Community Organizing at San Francisco-based Code for America.
When you don't have that interaction with real people in the sense of, like, I'm struggling, I don't have access to the latest technology all the time, my problems aren't about, you know, how to get takeout delivered to my house or how to launch my app in a faster way, then that's where the disconnect kind of starts coming in.
Code for America gives tech workers a way to use their skills to engage community projects, like a text messaging system to warn families there's a problem with their food stamps before they find themselves cut off from benefits while waiting in the grocery line.
So that for us is a huge win. And so what we try to do is build bridges and figure out where technology can play a positive role in fixing some of those more entrenched public problems.
Bracey's organization, by the way, gets 700 applications a year for fellowships to build these bridges where there may be islands. That report from my fellow Marketplace Morning Report host, David Brancaccio. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.